بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussion on the book entitled The Important Lessons for the Muslim Ummah, and we have reached the fourth pillar of Islam, and this is fasting. We spoke about the testimony of faith, the testimony that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is his slave and messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we spoke about salah, and then zakah, and now we move to fasting. And this is the fasting of the month of Ramadan. Fasting the month of Ramadan is an obligation affirmed in the Book of Allah and in the authentic Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by the Muslim consensus. قال الله تعالى, Allah the Most High says in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:183-185, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. All who you believe, observing fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become pious and righteous. أياما معدودات, فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر, وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين, فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له, وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. Observing fasting for a fixed number of days, but if any of you is ill or on a journey, the same number should be made up from other days. And as for those who can fast with difficulty, example an old man, etc., they have a choice either to fast or to feed a miskeen, a poor person, for every day. But whoever does good of his own accord, it is better for him, and that you fast, it is better for you, if only you know. Then in the next verse, 185, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان, فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم, ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر, يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر, ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. So now it becomes an obligation. The month of Ramadan, in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for mankind and clear proofs for the guidance and criteria between right and wrong. So whoever of you sights the crescent on the first night of the month of Ramadan and present at his home, he must observe fasting that month. And whoever is ill or on a journey, the same number of days which one did not observe fasting must be made up from other days. Allah intends for you ease, and He does not want to make things difficult for you. He wants that you must complete the number of days, and that you must magnify Allah by saying takbir on seeing the crescent of the month of Ramadan and Shawwal, for having guided you, so that you may be grateful to Him. This is from the Quranic text and from the Sunnah. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بني الإسلام على خمس. Islam is established upon five pillars. Shahadatu an la ilaha illallah, the testimony that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, wa iqam as-salah, establishment, performance of the prayer, wa ita' az-zakah, and giving the annual due charity, wa hajj al-bayt, and visiting the house, the Kaaba, wa sawmu Ramadan, and fasting the month of Ramadan. And all Muslims are, and this is an agreed upon hadith, all Muslims are on the consensus that the fasting of the month of Ramadan is an obligation. So whoever denies that, then he is an apostate kafir. He is to be given a respite to repent, and if he repents and attests to its obligation, then this is what is required. Otherwise, his punishment is to be of the fasting of Ramadan was in the second year after Hijrah, after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fasting has conditions for its obligation. First is Islam. So fasting is not an obligation upon the kafir, on the disbeliever, and it's not accepted from him until he becomes a Muslim. Second, reaching the age of puberty. Therefore, it is not an obligation on the child. However, the children may be commanded and trained on the obedience so that they familiarize themselves with the fasting, and thus it would be easier for them later. And with respect to attainment, the age of puberty, this is attained by completing 15 years of age, or growth of the pubic hair, or ejaculation by way of wet dreams or otherwise. And this is common for males and females, and there is an additional one for females, and this is the occurrence of the menstruation. So, if any one of these matters are attained or occur with respect to growing child reaching the age of puberty, then in this case it becomes an obligation. Thirdly, being sane. So fasting is not obligated upon the insane, and therefore also in situations whereby the person reaches an age where he or she cannot discriminate things and not distinguish things, then there is no fasting upon them, and there is no expiation also upon them. Fourth condition, the ability to fast. And all of this pertains to the resident. All of this pertains to the resident person. So the ability to fast, so the person who is unable to fast due to old age or due to an illness, incurable illness, then in this case he does not fast, and then expiates by feeding for each day half a sa' to the poor. And the sa is 2,400 grams, so half of that will be a kilo plus, 1,200 grams of food. certainly fasting has many wisdoms behind it. From the wisdoms of fasting is that it is a worship set as a means of nearness to Allah, where the person abandons that which is naturally he is inclined to, like from food, drink, sexual intercourse with the wife, so that he attains the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, through this, it becomes clear through the fasting that he abandons that which is beloved to him in this life and prefers over it and gives precedence to that which is beloved to Allah and of great benefit in the hereafter. So therefore he gives precedence to that which is beloved by Allah over his own inclinations and desires. And from the wisdoms of fasting, that it is a cause for attainment of piety. If the fasting person establishes what is obligated upon him, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in the previous verse, 183 of Surah Al-Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may achieve piety. O who you believe, fasting had been or is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may become pious and righteous. So the fasting is commanded, the fasting person is commanded to have taqwa. What is taqwa? Ascribing to the command of Allah and abstaining from his prohibitions. This is the greatest objective behind fasting. Again, this is the greatest objective behind fasting. And the objective is not to make the self suffer by the abandonment of food and drinks and sexual relations between the wife and the husband and between the spouses. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, من لم يدع قول الزور, you missed that part. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who doesn't abandon قول الزور, the saying of falsehood, والعمل به, and acting on it. What does this mean? قول الزور, كل محرم, everything which is haram, from lying, insulting, backbiting, والعمل بالزور, and acting on falsehood, doing things that are haram, cheating, treachery, confiscating people's wealth unjustly, and the like. Also included this in this is listening to that which is unlawful, from music and so forth. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, "Wal-jahl," also the one who doesn't abandon al-jahl, and this is foolishness, which means not being on soundness in saying an action. This is foolishness. This is which is referred in the hadith, al-jahl. Then the Prophet ﷺ continued, فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ The one who doesn't leave these things, then there is no need. ليس لله حاجة في أن يدع طعامه وشرابه. Allah is in no need for him to abandon his food and drinks. So it's not a matter of making the self suffer. And therefore, when the person acts according to what is truly the objective of fasting, as stated in the hadith and as stated earlier in the verse from Surah Al-Baqarah, then the fasting becomes a real educational and educational self-discipline upon uprightness. Such that the month of Ramadan would be a real turning point in one's life affected by it, in himself, in his manners, in his character, and from the wisdoms of fasting is that the rich would know the favor of Allah upon him, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for him to attain what he likes from food and drinks and marriage, etc. So therefore he gives thanks to Allah upon this favor and remembers the poor, and thus would give from what Allah bestowed upon him by way of charity and by way of goodness. And from the wisdoms of fasting is the training upon self-discipline and control to lead one's life in a direction which brings goodness and happiness for it in this life and in the hereafter, and therefore distance himself from an animalistic type of life whereby he cannot refrain himself from its enjoyment and desires, but rather he regulates this drive of the self lest it gradually takes him to destruction. So he therefore distances himself from an animalistic way, animal-like way of life, where he cannot refrain himself from the enjoyments and the self's drives towards lusts and desires. Also from the wisdoms of fasting is that fasting leads to health benefits, where the food intake is minimized and brings rest to the stomach and relieves the body from toxic wastes and poisonous matters. These are a few wisdoms from from the many wisdoms of fasting. And so fasting is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by refraining from eating and drinking and legal sexual intercourse, and from all the invalidators of fasting from dawn until sunset. And fasting is two types: obligatory and optional. And certainly the fasting of the month of Ramadan is a fard, is an obligation. The fasting person avoids all forms of invalidators of fasting, and these include, first, legal sexual intercourse. This invalidates the fasting, and it becomes an obligation on the person who indulges in this to make up the day and expiate, and the expiation is a stringent one, and it is freeing a believing slave. And if he doesn't find, then fasting two consecutive months. And if he is unable, then he feeds 60 poor people, in addition to repentance, at-tawbah. Second, invalidator, deliberate semen discharge by self-stimulation or due to sexual advancement, kissing, hugging, which leads to ejaculation, then one must make up for this day. Hugging and kissing without ejaculation does not invalidate the fasting. However, it's preferable for the fasting person to leave that, because this is a means which lead to occurrence of that which is forbidden, which may lead him to indulging in the actual sexual intercourse, or lead him to ejaculation. However, ejaculation by way of in a wet dream like situation, or thinking, mere thinking, and then he ejaculates, then this does not invalidate the fasting. Third, eating and drinking willful consumption of food and drinks. Also, that which is an alternative which takes the same effect through, for example, nutritional injections or intravenous feeding, then these are also invalidators as to injections which are meant as medication but not nutritional, then these do not invalidate the fasting, and we will talk more about them later. The fifth one is cupping, releasing the blood through the mechanism of cupping, and there is difference of opinion on this. And the precautionary thing is to avoid it during the month of Ramadan. And the strong opinion is that it does not invalidate the fasting, but it is precautionary not to do that during the month of Ramadan. Now, the release of blood from the nose or due to teeth removal or a wound, then this does not invalidate the fasting. And even if it comes in large quantities, according to the correct opinion. And with respect to blood donation, this would be a situation analogous to the difference of opinion concerning cupping. And our Shaykh rahimahullah is with the opinion that if it necessitates the weakness of the body, then it is an invalidator, because its effect in this case would be the same as that of cupping. Now, accordingly, the Shaykh rahimahullah went to the opinion that it is not permissible for a fasting person making an obligatory fast to donate sizable amounts of blood which would affect his body, unless there is a necessity which cannot be warded off except by his donation. And in this case, he said that it is permissible under such situation, and therefore he breaks his fast and makes up this day. The next invalidator is deliberate self-induced vomiting, and therefore undeliberate does not invalidate the fasting. And the next is the menstrual and postnatal blood discharge. Menstrual and postpartum blood discharge. As to some of the contemporary matters which are related to the validity or invalidity of the fasting, invalidation or validation of fasting, meaning having an effect or does not having an effect, does not have an effect, then the first is the medication for bronchital asthma, the inhalers. There's difference of opinion on this, and the closest opinion is that they don't invalidate. The closest opinion is that they don't invalidate the fasting. And also, second, the pills which are placed under the tongue of those who take them for cardiac problems, like the nitroglycerin pills, which these are taken under the tongue. So these don't invalidate the fasting. Also, with respect to stomach examination by way of introducing the fiber optic tube, known as the method known as gastroscopy, by way of the mouth, the correct opinion is that it does not invalidate the fasting, unless a medication which may have fat ingredients which they may put on the tube, and this could be nutritional, of a nutritional type, if it is put on the tube and it reaches the stomach, it invalidates the fasting, because it's a nutritional, not, it hasn't anything to do with the tube itself. So its invalidation will be due to it having a nutritional aspect. Also, the endoscopy does not invalidate the fasting, because it is not meant to be as a nutrition, nor it is meant to be a strengthening of the body, and it does not even reach the stomach. Next is the nose drop or nose drops. The majority of the scholars are with the opinion that it invalidates the fasting, and our Shaykh rahimahullah is with the opinion that it invalidates the fasting if it reaches the stomach. Next, the eardrops, it does not invalidate the fasting. And as to the eye drops, the majority of the scholars are on the opinion that eye drops don't invalidate the fasting. And this is the closest opinion. The nasal spray, the preponderating opinion is that it does not invalidate the fasting. Medical treatment, medical injections by way intravenous, muscular or subcutaneous, according to the majority of the contemporary scholars, they don't invalidate the fasting, and this is the correct opinion. So the medical treatment, remember, medical treatment, we're not talking about the nutritional. Now comes the nutritional. The intravenous nutritional injections invalidate the fasting, and this is the correct opinion, and this is the majority opinion. So a point of benefit on the medical treatment, medical injection by intravenous or muscular or subcutaneous, take for example pain medicines, insulin, all of these don't invalidate the fasting. However, the intravenous nutritional injections invalidate the fasting. The next, medical creams, ointments, plastic medication on put on joints and the like, they don't invalidate the fasting. Arterial catheterization. Arterial catheterization don't invalidate the fasting. Also, the same applies with the catheterization. Leading to the bladder also, they don't invalidate the fasting. These are the urinary catheterizations. Kidney dialysis, if it is accompanied with nutritional additives, then it invalidates the fasting. Kidney dialysis, if accompanied with nutritional additives, then it invalidates the fasting. The enema, if it contains water or nutritional additives absorbed by the stomach, then it invalidates the fasting, because through this there will be strengthening of the body. Suppositories do not invalidate the fasting. Regular blood analysis does not invalidate fasting. Okay, oxygen needed to be taken by an ill person . This is air, so it has no effect. It does not invalidate the fasting. Smelling the regular perfumes does not invalidate the fasting, because the fragrance here does not have a mass. However, breathing the incense or Indian cost, then some of the scholars are with the opinion that this invalidates the fasting because it has a mass that reaches the stomach. Taking a shower to cool off during hot times while fasting does not invalidate the fasting. Using the siwak at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day is a sunnah. does not invalidate the fasting. Brushing the teeth with or without the toothpaste does not invalidate the fasting, as long as there is no additives, food additives or the like in it. Therefore, in this case, it is better to avoid lest it reaches the stomach. Applying kuhl to the eyebrow and eyelashes for medication or for beautification purposes does not invalidate the fasting. With respect to the invalidators, if someone takes the invalidator due to forgetfulness or ignorance or being compelled, then this does not invalidate the fasting. So if someone forgets to eat or drink, this does not invalidate the fasting. And if he eats or drinks thinking that the sun had already set, or that dawn did not break yet, then this does not invalidate the fasting because of ignorance. And if he washes his mouth and then some of the water goes to his throat unintentionally, then this does not invalidate the fasting because this is not deliberate. And having a wet dream, this does not invalidate the fasting because this is not under one's choice. It is permissible for the fasting person to intend the fasting even if he is in a state of sexual defilement, then takes the bath after the dawn break before making Salat al-Fajr. Also, this brings another point. If a woman becomes pure in the month of Ramadan from menses or postnatal bleeding before Fajr, then she fasts even though she takes the bath after daybreak, after dawn. It is permissible for the fasting person to wet his lips if they become too dry, and to wash his mouth without being extensive in that. If his mouth is too dry, without gargling. From the sunnah of fasting is to hasten breaking the fast when the sun sets, and to delay the late meal of suhoor till close to Fajr. And it is also sunnah to break the fast on fresh dates, and if the person does not find, then regular dates, dry dates, and if he doesn't, then water, because this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also to make dua at iftar. From the rulings on making up missed fastings, first, with respect to the old who reach an old age unable to distinguish matters, then it is not an obligation upon him to fast nor to expiate by giving food, feeding the poor. Second, the one who is continuously unable to fast, like an elderly person or an ill person having an incurable disease, then in this case he feeds for each day a miskeen, a poor person, half a sa'. Third, with respect to the person on a journey, the traveler, he makes up when he returns to residence, makes up all the days which he broke the fast therein, in his travel. With respect to the ill person whose illness is hopeful to be cured, it is hoped that his illness is curable. Then in the case when he is cured, he makes up all the days which he missed during his state of illness. And with respect to the menstruating woman or woman in postnatal bleeding, they make up the days also which they broke the fast in, once they are ritually pure from blood. As to the pregnant woman and the breastfeeding woman, if they fear for themselves or for their load or children, then they break the fast and in accordance with one opinion they make up the days, and the other opinion is that they feed instead of making up. And whoever needs to break the fast in order to ward off a necessity, then he makes up that day. With respect to the traveler has three situations. If it is hard upon him to make the fast, meaning it is an intense hardship upon him, then it is forbidden for him to fast. Second situation, it's hard upon him, but it is not intensely hard. Then in this case, it is disliked for him to fast, because in this case he is not taking by the permit which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him while having hardship upon himself. The third situation, it is not hard upon him to fast, then in this case he does that which is easier for him, fasting or non-fasting, or not fasting. So if it is if the situation is the same, then fasting is better. Because this is the action of the Prophet ﷺ in this case. During the month of Ramadan, there are meritorious actions. In itself, the fasting in Ramadan is a great merit. Also in the month of Ramadan is the night prayer. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever establishes the night prayer in Ramadan upon faith and anticipating reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him what passed of his sins. From that also, the recitation of the Quran, because the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. قال الله تعالى as in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 185 شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Also charity, this is the month of spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing good, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was most generous during the month of Ramadan. Also from that is the Umrah, visiting the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Mecca. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umratun fi Ramadan ta'adilu hajjatan ma'i. A Umrah in Ramadan is equivalent to a Hajj with me. Also from that is the i'tikaf, the seclusion, in the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, anticipating the night of decree, Laylatul Qadr. Also from that, of course, is seeking the night of Qadr in prayers at night, because this is a great reward. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man qama Laylatul Qadr imanan wa ihtisaba ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." Anyone who establishes the night prayer of the decree, the night of decree, upon faith and anticipation of reward, then his past sins will be forgiven. This is reported in Bukhari and Muslim. And also from that is providing a breakfast for those who are fasting. And as in the hadith, this, the person who does this will receive the reward, the same reward of the fasting person. This is a reference to the obligatory fast of the month of Ramadan. There are optional voluntary fasts. From that is the fasting of the day of Monday and Thursday. And this was the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Also from that is fasting 3 days each month. And it's preferable that they are of the wide days, the 13th, 14th and 15th of each month. And if he spreads them, then it's no harm. Also from that is the Siyam of the day of Arafah and the day of Ashura. And from that is the fasting of the month of Muharram and fasting in Sha'ban and fasting the 6 days, first 6 days of Shawwal following Ramadan. Also the fasting in the month of Dhul Hijjah, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. For more details on the merits and objectives and wisdoms of fasting, and also rulings, then please refer to the discussions we had during the month of Ramadan, and they are available on the site under a special folder. But this is here meant to be summarized as possible to cover the pillar of fasting under the discussion which is intended for the Muslim Ummah in general. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a benefit for myself and for all of you. And anything that I have said, which is in accordance with the Kitab of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it and to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. And anything that I had said, which is not in accordance with the Book of Allah, nor with the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then it is from me and from Shaytan. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me for that. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.